Well, good morning, everyone. We are back. And hey, look, I mean, let me introduce you guys. Jimmy over in Arizona, Jed over in Chicago. And which of you guys are sitting there watching the Olympics as we're recording right now? All right, does anyone have the TV on?
I do not. I actually have a friend who pinged in and said, happy, opening Olympics. And I was like, oh, man, I didn't even realize. So
it's on right now? I thought it was on.
Yeah, opening ceremony is on right now.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yep.
Because it's not on our time. This is prime time, their time in Japan.
Yeah.
Wow. Are they going to broadcast it tonight, too?
They probably are, but they're broadcasting right now.
Okay. I'm going to turn it on. I'll turn it on.
I admit that when you watch the Olympics, you know, you always find those weird sports and all of a sudden you get like sucked in and you're really into who's going to win in this, esoteric sport, but we'll see.
Hey, later on this morning for both you guys, I want you to think about this in each of the positions, quarterback, wide receiver, and running back. Who do you think in fantasy is going to win gold, silver, or bronze? So I want to ask you that. Out of the running backs, who's going to win gold, silver, or bronze? So think about that, and we're going to tie that in at the end. But let's talk a little bit about news and notes because training camp has started. And so the two teams that have reported training camp are Dallas Cowboys because they're going to be on Hard Knocks and they got to play at the Hall of Fame game, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So first off, with the Dak Prescott is now back, and he practiced fully on Thursday. And here we go, Dak Prescott. Jim, let me start off with you. What do you think of Dak Prescott this year in terms of fantasy?
You know, actually, I was just thinking about that, just driving into the office this morning. They were saying the top three quarterbacks is going to be Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes, right? So they're most likely going to go maybe starting the fourth, fifth round. Then you're going to start hitting a good middle of the round group of quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers might be in there. My guess is Dak, and as well as also Lamar.
Justin, your guy,
yeah,
Justin.
Justin Herbert, right? Yeah. So here's my thing. Everyone says that Dak and Lamar didn't have the best year, but he actually might go further down because Dak was injured. He might go further down as well too, because people might not want to risk it. I actually think you can get some pretty good value with Dak Prescott. And that would be one of the quarterbacks. Him and Justin Herbert are the ones that I really am aiming to go after this year. Because if you think about it, last year before he got injured, he was one of the top three quarterbacks in fantasy.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jimmy. I think he's in that second tier, and he's probably the top of that second tier. I mean, if you look at the Cowboys, you know, with the problems that Zeke Elliott had, you know, he came into training camp 10 pounds lighter, so he's trying to get better. But we'll see if the running game is really not there, then they're definitely going to lean on Dak. And so I totally agree with you with a good roll of the dice with Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Well, they invested heavily in their defense this year, especially in the draft that you saw with the Dallas Cowboys. Jed, let me ask you a question because you mentioned Zeke Elliott. What does a trimmed down Ezekiel Elliott look like? Is it going to be a faster? Is it going to be someone who wants to prevent injuries? Is he going to be stopped by people because he can't really bulldoze over people anymore? What were you expecting out of Zeke Elliott?
Yeah, that's a really good question. To me, you're going to see more of that pass catching ability. Really more of those quick swing passes. Using him in more of that quick fire type of offense, that West Coast offense. So that's what I'm hoping for. I mean, he's only 26. I mean, I'm still a fan of Zeke Elliott. I think he's a good bounce back candidate. I think as the Cowboys in general are. So for me, again, not a bad roll of the dice. I put him in that second tier of running backs as well, maybe towards the back. I would say he's top 10, but maybe still, towards the back of that.
Well, I mean, last year, Tony Pollard, if you paid attention, Tony Pollard towards the end of the fantasy season did actually pretty well spelling Zeke. I can see them really using Pollard a little bit more, keeping Zeke fresh, and then using him more at the goal line, third down. But I can see him scoring more touchdowns, but they're going to try to keep him more fresh this year. But you're right, the offense, I mean, you got CeeDee Lamb, you got
Cooper, right?
I actually think, I bet you can make the argument that CeeDee Lamb is now the number one receiver on that team.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And I would say it's not even close. And I think Cooper, you're going to see, he's one guy I'm avoiding this year. I know you like him, Tommy, but he's a guy that I'm avoiding. I think he's going to drop significantly this year.
I actually would argue, I think a lot of times I like Amari Cooper. If he's probably the least of my number two receivers that I would pick. He has some great games, but there are days when he just disappears. And by the way, he just opened up training camp on the pup list with an ankle injury. So he actually is not playing at this point right now.
Well, okay. So I know we're talking about Cowboys. Did you guys see Saquon Barkley is on the pup list too?
But that's not unexpected, right? Because how many months out is he from the ACL tear? Because that's a hard, recovery time.
I see that those are guys. I'm not taking a risk on Saquon. I know some people were like, they're still going to pick him up in the first round. They're going to get a good backup, and then they'll bring him in later on. I just don't trust Saquon. I actually don't trust Amari Cooper. I do trust like a Dak Prescott though.
Let's go to the other team, Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers has a new offensive coordinator. They brought in Matt Canada. It's going to be new terminology. It's going to be a whole brand new system in order to keep Roethlisberger a lot fresher and a lot better for the long term. What do you think of this? Older quarterback learning a new system. What are your thoughts, Jim, on Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers this year?
I mean, I think we all agree. Ben's got some good weapons, right? He's got a good new running back. He's got Deontay Johnson. He's got good receivers. But Ben's old. Even last year, when he played against the really bad teams, he actually put up some good numbers. But towards the end, he just ran out of gas. So my thing is, if you have him as a backup quarterback, I actually can see him doing pretty good the first half of the season. But my guess is he's going to run out of gas the second half of the season. And this is really, if you think about his last year with the Steelers, whether or not he plays again next year, I don't know. But this is going to be his last year, my guess, with the Steelers.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Big Ben is a quarterback that anyone should be targeting. He's someone who you're going to pick in the way late rounds, maybe as your, if you have a no quarterback strategy and you take him like 8th, 9th, 10th round. I think the only guy who's interesting on the Steelers is Najee Harris. Like, where is he going to go? Are you going to have to pay a lot for him? Or if people are in your draft are avoiding him and you can get him cheap, he's a very interesting prospect. And again, the wide receivers, it's just, as we saw last year, it's just too hard to predict who's going to get the points. So for me, those are guys I'm not interested in.
Okay. Not to say that I'm giving up my draft strategy, but are there players like last year? I love Kenyon Drake. I love Najee Harris. I mean, I love Najee Harris. I know Jimmy likes Chase Claypool. I'm okay with Chase Claypool. I'm okay with Deontay Johnson. I do not like J.J. Schuster, but I love Najee Harris a lot.
All right, Jimmy, we're going to pump up the price for Tommy on that one.
Okay, so I was – okay, that's interesting. I was reading through some of the Yahoo. Some people were starting to do mock dynasty drafts, right? And there was this particular dynasty drafts where you only focus on rookies. Najee Harris was going number one in terms of a dynasty rookie league. And above, like, Trevor Lawrence, above any of these other guys. But I was like, I can see that. I can see them really – him doing really well. But you might also get to the point where it was like last year with the Kansas City guy, where everybody was all in. He did pretty good for a couple games and he just disappeared.
Yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, definitely tricky with the Kansas City backs. But, again, our league is a keeper league, so it's already slim pickings when it comes to the draft. So I do think Najee Harris is going to command some serious coin in our draft because, as you said, if you get him and he hits, you're a lock for a long time.
Yeah.
Just because of the team of the Pittsburgh Steelers, a lot of times they're going to run the ball. With Kansas City, you have Travis Kelce. You have Tyreek Hill. Pat Mahomes loves to throw the ball. They're not a running team. And so a lot of times, but at the same time, you also know the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look at James Conner a couple years ago, ran the ball.
Well, okay, let me ask you, do you guys remember for our Dynasty League, is it an auction league or is it a
snack? Auction. We do auction.
Okay, would you spend more than $40 for Najee Harris?
It depends, right? So, for example, in my keeper situation, you guys know I got two stud backs. I've got both Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry, so I'm not spending that money. But if I don't have a number one running back, $40 is probably pretty cheap out of a 100 budget to get a starting running back who will be a lock.
for a rookie too, though, would you, you would spend it on a rookie?
Well, that's the thing, is you're taking a little bit of a chance, right? But again, that means that you get him for however many more years if it works out. So I don't know. It just depends on, I think it depends on your, you know, your positioning and what strengths you have on your team. But $40 is not a bad, out of 100 is not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the two big news coming out of training camp this week is Cam Akers is injured, tore his Achilles while he was practicing for the season and working out for the season. Here, if you were a GM, so the next man up is Daryl Henderson. And then from that point on, you have Raymond Callis, Jake Funk. No one knows who you are, okay? Here are the options. Who would you pick? You have Adrian Peterson, Duke Johnson, Deion Lewis, LeSean McCoy, Le'Veon Bell, or Todd Gurley. Jed, who would you pick?
Wait, say the list again.
Adrian Peterson, Duke Johnson, Todd Gurley, Deion Lewis, LeSean McCoy, or Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, I like Duke Johnson. We talked about him out of Houston, especially because of the pass catching. You know, they talked about, you know, Cam Akers, of course, has that ability, and I think they want to keep that offense running the same. And so I think Duke Johnson fits in there really, really well. If he were to get signed, I think that would be a hot pickup.
Me too. But I am very disappointed Cam Akers is out because I think he was ready for a big season this year.
Well, all of the Rams, it's really tricky, right? I mean, with Matt Stafford, you're just wondering now, are they going to have to rely even more on the passing game? Which, again, I mean, he's definitely getting up there in years, so you just got to see if he can handle that kind of load.
Now, I would say with Daryl Henderson, with Malcolm Brown gone over to Atlanta, you have to watch Daryl Henderson. He was supposed to be the starting running back before Cam Akers came out of nowhere and they drafted Cam Akers. So there's something they saw in Daryl Henderson. Who knows what's going to happen? If he gets a consistent opportunity, will he do well this year?
I thought he had at least one or two games where he blew up a little bit.
Yeah, I think in the middle of the season, because he wasn't the official starter, in the middle of the season, he actually started, I think, a series of three or four games. He did okay, but they were always splitting time between the three running backs, right? But the games that he did was decent. The only thing is he a number one consistent starter? And is going to hold up with all of that pressure. And a lot of the times what they found is most of these running backs just are not holding up during the course of the season.
Well, it did look like the Rams were giving it to the hot hand. So it was Malcolm Brown for a couple weeks. Then it went to Daryl Henderson. Then toward the end, especially during playoffs, Cam Akers that they were giving it to. So we'll see what happens. Another news, Jed, I'll talk, pick your brain a little bit, is – Aaron Rodgers looks like he will not be playing for the Green Bay Packers. Rejected a two-year offer from the Packers. If he doesn't play, what's your outlook on Aaron Jones and Davante Adams?
Not only rejected a two-year offer, isn't it supposed to be that he rejected to be the highest paid player in NFL history? Yeah. So
everyone's trying to figure out like what's his angle, you know? Because I don't think the Packers are going to trade him unless they get some really, really good offer. But they're just going to stand pat.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think his angle is that he's pissed off and he's not going to give in to the man. So, you know, I have always thought Aaron Rodgers is a prima donna, right? I mean, the bottom line is if you disrespect the guy, he's like a Michael Jordan. He's not going to forgive you. So there's a chance this guy doesn't play. I think there's a chance he sits out, which is just insane. As far as the Packers, as a Bears fan, I'm happy to say without Rodgers, they are going to tank. I have no faith in Jordan Love. That's an interesting, you know, potential there, but I would be staying away from those guys, the skill players. That's not a team that I'd want to be a part of personally.
But so I know rosters are starting to open up, right? Some rosters are opening up. Some people are allowing people to pick up free agents. If Jordan Love is out there, that's an intriguing risk to take, to just pick him up, stash him, because you never know. He's got some good weapons around him.
Oh, yeah, I totally – and we talked about it before, Jimmy. I thought that – though. I know you did that in one league. That was a great move because I agree with you. That's one of those situations where he could totally hit. Just like Jalen Hurts. Don't forget Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, guys. This guy did not have a full season under his belt. I think he could hit as well. But you're right. I mean, Green Bay has a track record with bringing in guys we haven't heard of and turning them into superstars. So Jordan Love could be the man.
Yeah. Well, my guess is Aaron Rodgers is playing the game as if Jordan Love is not going to do anything, right? So you guys need me more than I need you. But you're right. I think the sentiment, you're starting to see the sentiment has grown against Aaron Rodgers and more for the Packers.
Well, you're listening to NFL Fantasy Matchup. This year, we are on both YouTube, Facebook Live, and wherever you could download and listen to all of your podcasts this year. YouTube is new this year as well, too. Hey, my selfish thing is Devontae Adams is on my keeper league, so I'm a little bummed about that. I have Calvin Ridley, but I'm very disappointed about this Devontae Adams because I traded a lot for this guy last year.
Yeah. Hey, okay, so that's another question. Have you guys started doing any mock drafts?
No.
So I've started doing a couple of mock drafts, and then I started looking at what other people mock drafts are. Usually Devontae Adams will go towards the first – he'll be the first pick in the latter part of the first round, right? This year, most people were not picking Devontae Adams until the third round, partly because no one really knows what's going to happen to him. And so, I mean, you could take the risk and he'll do really well for you. Or, like Tommy said, he actually might tank this year, partly because Aaron Rodgers isn't there anymore. But I was surprised where he was going.
Yeah, third round, I would be honest. If I saw him in the third round, that would be very hard to pass up. Because he is a supreme talent. I mean, this is no knock on Devontae Adams. I think even with a mediocre quarterback, he still could be easily top 10 in stats. Just not like number one, you know, not top five. Yeah. But man, third round value for Devontae. Imagine if you had Devontae Adams as your number two. My goodness, that would be pretty. That'd be pretty strong.
Yeah. So in a lot of these mock drafts, Michael Thomas was falling, Zeke was falling, Barkley was falling, Devontae Adams was falling. The person who's actually rising, Travis Kelce. I was like surprised how many people was going after Travis Kelce early in the first round.
I was gonna say, what about Hopkins? Was he dropping? Because we were just talking about how supposedly he doesn't want to get vaccinated, and so that might hold him out. And so that was a worrisome thing. But I mean, otherwise, I would think he would be top 10, no problem.
I would imagine. I would imagine if everything is fine with Hopkins, I think the first round is actually where people are going to be targeting him.
Yeah. Hey, let me go over to Deshaun Watson. The NFL remains in fact-finding and monitoring mode with regards to Deshaun Watson, who had 22 civil lawsuits filed against him. Jim, let me ask you, because you're a Deshaun Watson fan, are you even looking at him? He's sitting there in the 10th round, right? Are you picking him up?
No, most likely not. You know, I mean, think about it, right? Like, he's going to have to settle all of these things. Even if he settles, he's going to have to go before the NFL commissioner. I would say minimum 8 to 9 games they're going to have to suspend him. I mean, what? You're going to get him for a couple of games by the time he gets back? I just don't think he's worth a roster spot. Now, Dynasty League, though, that might be different. But at least for this year, I don't think he's worth it.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. I'm staying away, unfortunately. I'm such a fan, you know, and so I'm really disappointed for. I mean, I hope obviously the allegations aren't true, but it does seem like there's where there's smoke, there's some fire, and so I'm staying away from all of the Texans. Are there any Texans that you would want to draft?
I don't even know who's on the Texans roster. I'm gonna look.
Brandon Cooks is probably your only option you're looking at. Brandon Cooks.
Where did Fuller go?
Miami.
Okay.
Yeah, Miami. He went over to Miami. Yeah, but there's really no one.
That's what I'm saying. I'm staying away from the Texans, man.
No,
not Tommy's favorite, David Johnson.
Yeah. Well, not with Phillip Lindsay there. With David Johnson and Phillip Lindsay splitting the ball, it just will not work. It just will not work. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Hey, did you, on a separate note, I know we don't talk about defense. Did you see where Melvin Ingram signed? The stud Zacker over in San Diego signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Melvin Ingram signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to see how well he does there.
Okay, hey, so for Houston, did you know Houston has David Johnson, Phillip Lindsay, Mark Ingram and Rex Burkhead as running backs? I was like, that's a lot of like old running backs they have on their team.
Yeah, and I wouldn't touch any of those. So
All right. Side note, Jed, I'm going to go to you. NFL has announced if a team has COVID-19 outbreak among unvaccinated players and the game can't be rescheduled, then teams will have to forfeit. One, thoughts on that. But two, if you were a commissioner, would you add in additional ILs or how would you deal with your roster as it's set up?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. I don't know if you guys heard Michael Irvin's take on that. Basically, he said that players who aren't getting vaccinated are not true team players, and they're being selfish above their goals for the team, which I kind of have to agree with. I mean, I personally think, I'm thinking of my workplace, vaccinations are certainly not required, but I don't know anyone who hasn't gotten one. It just doesn't make sense to put someone else's life at jeopardy just for yourself. So, as for how we're going to manage it in fantasy, an extra IL, that's what we did last year, right? I think we had three IL spots in ours to help with COVID. It's a tricky thing. And I wonder, for me, the big question is, in the NBA, we saw a lot more injuries this year. And it was pretty much, I think, attributed to the COVID conditions, the lack of practice and conditioning. I wonder for the NFL, are we going to see a similar situation with more injuries? And if so, an extra IL might be a good solution.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, just because you're probably going to see a lot of hamstring injuries. You're going to see a lot of soft tissue injuries. You're going to see a lot of pulled calves or something like that. So that's something you have to remember. With a lot of practice, you probably won't have the techniques down for tackling. So you're going to be hurting people a lot of times. So we'll see what happens along the way as well,
too. The other interesting thing about that is some people have made the argument that with less practice time, with less time with the teams, it's actually a benefit to the rookies, that the rookies can kind of shine a little bit more over veterans, whereas normally there'd be a bigger gap. But that maybe in this kind of situations, and or the pairings like we see down with Jacksonville, where you have the familiarity of a coach with the star players, that maybe it'll come through a little bit quicker and easier for them.
I mean, think about this, right? We always talk about this every year during fantasy. If you look at the people who you drafted at the beginning of the year to who you end up with in the championship round, most of the players you drafted early on are not there anymore. So I think continually it goes back is how are you managing your, not just your draft picks, but how are you managing your waiver wire and how are you finding good talent towards the latter rounds and free agent pickups? I still think that's really the key of fantasy is paying attention and finding those good value towards the end of the rounds.
Yeah. Hey, one question I want to go through in terms of keepers. All of us are in the keeper league. So I have a scenario. If you were me, I have picked between Aaron Rodgers, DeAndre Swift, or Kenny Galladay. Who would you keep on your keeper team, Jim?
I picked DeAndre Swift. I mean, I know that Detroit's not like the best team in the world, but Kenny Galladay is over. There's an overload on receivers in New York. You're not really sure how well Daniel Jones is going to do, even though I think he's actually going to do better than he did last year. Aaron Rodgers is an unknown, right? He was MVP last year, but I can see him either sitting out, getting traded. I just don't think he'll have the same year as last year. DeAndre Swift is actually really intriguing for me, right? I don't know where they stand, but I actually like Swift.
Jed, before you say anything, let me say something to you. Assistant head coach Deuce Staley says that DeAndre Swift is a star three down back that can have 25 touches per game. Are you buying it?
Hey, and Deuce Staley, man, former Philadelphia Eagle, right? He was a stud back then. I agree with you, Jimmy. I would go DeAndre Swift all day with that. I think, again, we don't know what's going to happen to the passing game. They're going to be leaning, I think, more on the running game than we've traditionally seen in Detroit. And I love that. If they're giving him even 20 touches, Tommy, 25, man, that's a ton. But even 20 touches, I'd love to see what DeAndre Swift can do with 20 touches a game. And that's a roll of the dice I would take.
All right, Jim, let me then ask you a question. David Montgomery or Kenny Galladay then?
I just don't like David. I mean, I just don't like Kenny Galladay. I think if he stayed on Detroit, he would have value. I'll roll the dice on David Montgomery. Like, you don't – a lot of people are speculative about David Montgomery, though. But
wait, was it Montgomery or are we talking about Rodgers? Because if it's Montgomery versus Swift, I think I might go with Montgomery.
Before Swift? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, Swift before Montgomery.
I don't know.
Because I picked Montgomery, but if you guys like Swift, okay. But then I also then have to say, I really like Kenny Galladay a lot. Then I have to sit there. Well, Montgomery is one of the guys I did pick on my keeper team. So do I drop Montgomery and go with Galladay? So I'm asking. Well,
here's my thing. If you're going to roll the dice between Montgomery and Galladay, I pick Montgomery, right? He's got the receiving. He's got the rushing. He's the primary back. Galladay is going to be one of like three or four receivers on New York. And you're just not really sure he could do really well, but I'll roll the dice on Montgomery.
Yeah, I agree that you would go with the running back over the wide receiver, especially given the quarterback situation in New York. Montgomery and Swift, I think they're neck and neck. If you look at the rankings, they're neck and neck. It's probably a toss up. You know, maybe I'm drinking the hype, but you know, if Fields can come through, and we'll see how Chicago does. But I would go with Montgomery.
I like Montgomery if Fields is the quarterback. I don't like Montgomery with Dalton as the quarterback.
Hey, by the way, Montgomery, I mean, Fields was down here up in my neck of the woods at the Lake Forest High School filming some stuff. So my son was telling me he was over. Yeah, he was over at the high school. So he was like, man, I missed him.
I actually think Fields is going to be a really good quarterback.
Yeah. Totally agree. I'm very excited. But again, I'm hoping that the Bears don't rule him out first week. I'm hoping they can let him sit for a little bit and then come in. We'll see.
All right, let me just finish up with some Olympic predictions as regards to football, but I also want to talk a little bit about news and notes. I want to talk about basketball. I want to talk about Major League Baseball real fast. Olympics. Jen, I'm going to start with you. Gold, silver, bronze. Your prediction for running backs, if you have to look, who is going to win the gold, who's winning silver, who's winning the bronze of your running backs? I'm going to ask Jim about that question.
Okay, so running backs, well, you guys know I'm stacked at the running back position, but actually, regardless, the person that I would like, I think Dalvin Cook is my gold. You know, had a great season last year, wasn't that up to that number one spot, but still, I think when you look at Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, solid talents, of course. I don't think you can go wrong. But of those three, I feel like Dalvin Cook is the most consistent. Yeah. That's who would be my gold pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jim, how about silver and bronze, Jed?
Still in the running back category, we're saying. Yep. You know what? I'm going to give a silver. I would go silver to – do I have to stay – so it's just my top three then? Is that how it goes?
Yep, top three.
Okay, yeah. So then I would stay with either McCaffrey or Henry. I like Henry. I could see Henry, you know, Tennessee. You know, I think Henry could be silver, and then I would put McCaffrey last. Actually, you know what? I'll throw one in and say that we talked about Zeke Elliott. I think Zeke Elliott could have a really solid year. And another guy I think is Alvin Kamara. You know, we know about the quarterback situation in New Orleans. I could see them relying on the running game a little bit heavier than they have in the past, and that would be a good thing for Alvin Kamara. Mm-hmm. So actually, I'll put Kamara as my bronze.
So Kamara bronze, McCaffrey silver, and then gold would be your Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook, yeah.
Jim, what would you change? Anything you would change?
No, I wouldn't change, but without using the ones that Jed mentioned, right? If I were to pick the gold, silver, and bronze, I would put, you know what? The people I would really look at, not mentioning the ones that Jed said, I would put Jonathan Taylor up there with gold. I actually really think Taylor is going to do well. For silver, I actually think Austin Eckler is actually going to have a really good season. And then for bronze, I go back to Najee Harris. I actually think Najee Harris is going to surprise a lot of people. So those are my three.
Jimmy, I always love how you have a better connection to the West Coast. I always feel like you know the West Coast players better. So you always pick those guys, which is good. It's helpful to have the balance.
Jim, why don't you do gold, bronze, silver for wide receivers?
Wide receivers. Hold on. Let me pull up the list as I'm talking to you really fast. Wide receivers.
Jed, what do you think? Anything on your end if you were to pick gold?
Yeah, I mean, so the top five, roughly, people are talking about Tyreek Hill. You got Stephon Diggs, Calvin Ridley. I mentioned DeAndre Hopkins, you know, and DK Metcalf. A lot of people are down on Metcalf this year, which is interesting. You know what? For my gold, man, and Stephon Diggs, he really impressed me last year. And we know Tyreek Hill great talent. Consistency is probably one of the concerns. I'm actually going to go a little bit off script here, and I'm going to go back to the Vikings and say Justin Jefferson.
Really?
I think is an interesting potential there to be gold. This guy, just, I don't know, phenomenal talent, really impressed me in that year. I know that's going a little off script, but I'm going to go with Justin Jefferson. And then after him, I'll go with my typical Stephon Diggs, I think, at the bronze, and maybe a Tyreek Hill at the bronze.
Interesting, Jim, before you say, I would probably say Calvin Ridley would be my gold, and TK Metcalf would be my bronze. And then I really, really like Justin Jefferson as my silver.
Hmm. I like DeAndre Hopkins as my gold. I like Calvin Ridley as silver. And I like DK Metcalf as bronze. I think if they did not sign Julio Jones, AJ Brown would actually have been somebody I would have really looked at towards the top.
Hey, I was very excited about AJ Brown. Very, very excited about AJ Brown. Hey, side note, Larry Fitzgerald, did he sign anywhere yet?
Isn't he still with Arizona? I think he's still with Arizona. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I hope he does. He's pretty close to that record for, what is it, most consecutive seasons with the catch or something like that?
Yeah, got it. Last one, quarterbacks. And I want to ask you something about basketball. Jim, let's quickly go over to quarterbacks.
Well, I think quarterbacks is pretty easy. I think you're always the top three, right? Mahomes, for everybody, is always going to be gold. I think Josh Allen has vaulted to number two for silver, and I actually think Kyler Murray is going to be bronze. I think that's pretty standard now in everyone's eyes.
Chad?
Yeah, I agree. I think those are, you know, clearly the top three. I think you can maybe talk about Lamar Jackson in there if he gets a little more consistency, but I think the top three is, I agree. I'm a huge Kyler Murray fan. You guys know he's from Oklahoma, and so it's hard not to like him. But, man, Josh Allen, that guy – really impressed me last year. He's got another year under his belt. I feel like in a lot of ways we've seen what we can get out of Mahomes. Murray and Allen, I feel like, still have some more potential. I think I might actually go with an Allen first as my gold, and then maybe even put Mahomes down at the bronze. I think Mahomes is getting into that point of his career. It's like he knows what he can do. He's not trying to do it every game. He's trying to pay through the season, get ready for the playoffs, trying to figure out other parts of the offense. I think he's at that point where it's like stats aren't the thing for him.
Yeah.
Well, hey, look, I mean, at the same time, I benefited last year because Jimmy had Dak Prescott and Josh Allen. And so I traded for Josh Allen because I had Justin Herbert on my roster as a quarterback, and that vaulted me to the championship. I will clearly say I won the championship because of that.
My biggest regret last year, I had Murray, I had Prescott, and I had Allen. And I wrote to that. I was like, you know what? Prescott's doing great. I'm going to trade the other for – and I got good assets out of it. But then my quarterback lost it for me. And then my brother picked up Justin Herbert on a free agent. And that – yeah. So, I mean, now I'm going to wait until the end of the season before I make these big trades.
Yeah. All right. Jed, as we wrap up here, what did you think about the Bucks winning a championship?
Excited,
disappointed, Phoenix lost.
Excited, man. What an awesome championship. I hope you guys watch. And actually, I don't know if you saw the viewership numbers. It was a big improvement from the Lakers last year. I think 10 million more households paid attention to the championships. Great series. Man, hats off to Milwaukee. I actually was cheering for them. I respect Chris Paul a lot, but I don't like the guy, and so I did not want him to win. And Giannis, who cannot like Giannis? This guy is so genuine, so authentic. Clearly a rising talent. I mean, just unbelievable game. 50 points in the championship game. And a great way, if you guys saw the ending of that fifth game where they had the steal and then the alley-oop dunk, oh my goodness, that I was screaming at the top of my lungs. It was so great.
I also think he was at the right time at the right place, because think about the fluke that allowed him to win the Eastern Conference Finals over Brooklyn, right? Because I think Brooklyn would have gone on and they would have won as well too. But this was an interesting year. Brooklyn did not have Harden. They did not have Irving, and it was just Durant. And I think if they had those two guys, they would have actually gone into the finals.
Oh, yeah. Brooklyn is definitely, you can already see for next season, they open the season as the number one contender, and they should be. I mean, those three guys, if all healthy, that team is very different. I mean, they still went to seven games, even with just Durant against the Bucks. Yeah. So I agree, the Bucks capitalize on injuries. But, hey, that's a part of every year, man. Injuries are a part of everything, and you still got to give them credit for coming through. It was a great run for them. I'm very happy for the Bucks.
Okay, playing devil's advocate, I will argue, and maybe you guys would disagree with me, is Giannis a true superstar in terms of the top five or even top six? I would probably say not yet because of his lack of free throw. Now, he did a really good job making 15 or 17 or 16 of 18 free throws in the last game. But, man, in game four and game five, you're following him in the last 2 minutes. That's what you're doing in order to get him through a free throw line.
So then does that – do you take Shaq out of your top five because of that too?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I would argue that.
No. Okay, so that was funny because Reggie Miller was saying the same thing. They were like, everyone's always criticizing Giannis because of his free throws. Did you know when he was on the Lakers and he was the most dominant center in one NBA final game, he conducted almost 39 free throws and he only made 18 of them. And he says, but no one can tell me that he was not an all-star center that year, even though he missed more shots than Giannis ever did in terms of free throws.
Yeah. I mean, to me, and especially Giannis, that last game, as you said, shot an incredible percentage. There's no way I'm taking him off the floor. I mean, the guy was dominant. I think top five now, I think for sure. Now long term, I think we got to wait and see.
Now, I think Giannis needs to stop shooting all those threes all the time and stay in the middle a little bit more, because half the time I was like, what is he doing out there?
Yeah. He has stayed in the middle a little bit more, where he has played in back-to-basket at least a little bit more during these finals. So we saw that versus chucking up threes all the time. And Jrue Holiday, what a great pickup from New Orleans Pelicans.
That was a great trade. Oh, that was the guy that I was so disappointed I missed out in our fantasy basketball league was Jrue Holiday. I thought he was a great pickup. You know, what really impressed me was his defense. I did not realize how great of a defender was. I mean, essentially, whoever they put him on, that guy was not having a good game. They would switch him between Booker and CP3. It was a great move. I honestly think, though, that you could really criticize Phoenix for not having – basically trying to take Giannis more out. I mean, they just didn't have the personnel really to defend. And I think that was the other benefit Milwaukee had. If they had to come up against a team that had bigger guys in the paint, bigger centers who could have played a little bit better defense on Giannis, it would have been a different story.
Yeah. Hey, last thing before we run out. Jen, I think I'm on Jimmy now. Jim, if you had a chance, is the USA basketball team going to win gold?
I don't know. I actually don't want them to win gold. I just don't like the team.
That's interesting. You know, it's funny. My oldest son said the same thing, that he's not cheering for the U.S. to win. He's cheering for the underdogs. And they already had two historic losses, right? Lost to the first African team ever, and then had that other loss. And actually, the team that my son is cheering for is Luka's team.
Interesting.
You know, Luka is with what's the name of the country he's from?
Lithuania.
Lithuania. Yeah. So he's cheering for Lithuania. So, you know, I kind of have to agree. This is, you know, the switch to the international teams have caught up with the U.S.
Yeah. Australia has Deladova. Amazingly, Argentina has, if you guys don't remember him, Lucas Scola.
Oh, yeah. I remember from Houston. Yeah. Yes. He's great.
40-something-year-old Luis Scola is on Argentina.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, we're going to find some time to do it again next week. It's great. Training camp continues to be open, and so it'll be fun. And so we should be in for a great ride. Any lasting thoughts before we wrap up?
No, I'm looking forward to it. I think this will be a good year.
Yeah, good to see everyone. Excited to start again. Can't wait for football season.
Again, NFL matchup. We are on podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We're on YouTube this year as well as Facebook Live. And one day, if StreamYard allows us to be on Instagram, we'll figure out a way to get on Instagram Reel, Instagram TV. So we'll figure that out right now. So we'll talk soon. More information, go to fantasymatchup.nfl. That's fantasymatchup.nfl. We'll talk soon, everyone.